Obviously, you know where I'm going. But I think what I see happening is God has orchestrated a lot of things. You think He's still doing that? Yeah, He is. Because today we're continuing in our study in Ephesians. But we're coming to the passage that talked about in verse 16, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Folks, we're in the midst of flaming arrows. I really believe that. But our victory, we just sung about. Jesus wins. Jesus wins and He can get out of here. The enemy can, we're not going to let him have any room. We've been thinking about this armor. And I think sometimes we take it for granted, but I hope you realize today we need this armor. We need it now. We need it every day. We talked about the fact that we need to put on the belt of truth around our middle. And that we needed to put on the breastplate of righteousness in Christ. And our feet with the gospel of peace that gives us a place to stand and security and something to share. Today we come to think about God's armor, the shield of faith. When I think about faith, there's a lot of ways to describe it, but I think Hebrews 11:1 is a pretty good way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The other translation words are different, but I like it. It's faith is not theory, it's substance. It's reality. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see Him, but our faith is that He's there. And He's at work in our lives, and we celebrate that. So, let's think about this shield of faith. That we are to quench all the flaming arrows, or some translation call it the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, if you've got your outline out, you can write in on the first thing, recognize why I need the shield of faith. Recognize why I need the shield of faith. I believe God put it in His Word because we need it. And this whole passage, if you know, starts out in verse 10 and following that our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. I forget that they're still out there, those rulers of darkness. They want to undo all that God does. And He targets us in the midst of that because it's really not us. He's trying to get at God as far as I'm concerned. He's trying to slap God in the face, but guess what? He's not going to win. So, let me just share this. Recognize why I need the shield of faith. 1 Peter 5 says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion and seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Just remind you that we aren't the only one who goes through stuff, okay? A lot of other people. But notice what you said. We're to be alert, sober spirit, alert, attentive, because we have an adversary who does want to devour and destroy us. The Scripture says His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's all He does, ultimately. He starts out with making stuff look good, but when he gets through, it's destroyed and it's ruined, our life or any other thing else. So I need to recognize today, I do need the shield of faith. I do need the armor of God in place by the grace of God all the time, not just occasionally. So I recognize that. I think we'll agree that we have an opponent, but that's against us. Secondly, exercise faith. He said we're to put on the shield of faith. When you think something about this, the other armor, having on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod of preparation of the gospel of peace is sort of in place. But the shield of faith, what does it say? Taking it up. Applying it. Receiving it. And of course, the shield of faith is such as you've probably done this study, the shield of faith is a big shield. It's not a little one. And it means it can protect the whole part of our life. It also means you can hold it, and wherever the enemy is coming, you can go wherever it is. The shield of faith. And I'll think about some ways that this can be exercised as I go. But I want to exercise faith. Now, when I talk about faith, I'm talking about more than just saying I believe it. Faith in the Bible really means I believe it, therefore I act on it. I'm convinced that what I believe is what I do. I may tell you I believe all kinds of things, but what I practice is what I really believe. And so let's think about that. So exercise faith. I'm going to suggest some places or individuals, really, or where to put our faith. This shield is going to protect us. First of all, exercise faith in God's Word. In God's Word. I read this. And you read this. Do I really read it believing that it's really true? Now, you tell me up here it's you believe it. But am I doing what I read? When I read it and believe it, it means I put it into practice by God's grace. Imperfectly. The shield of faith in this Word, it becomes one of the controlling factors in my life. Let me read a couple of passages. First is what Jesus said. Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Notice he recognized the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus recognized that the Word of God, all he had at that point was probably the Old Testament, but he said this is truth. And so I want to say, I am going to put my faith and my trust in what God's Word says, and I want to allow that to be a part of my life. Now, if I'm going to have faith in God's Word, and I'm going to use it as a shield of truth, a shield in my life, what does it suggest I need to be doing about God's Word? Can I take this shield if I don't know what it is? See, I need to be putting this into my life, not only mentally, but spiritually and mentally, yes, studying it. But so when I know something's coming, God's Word pops in my mind. You've heard it said before. I've said it before. God can remind you of what He said in His Word if you've been reading it. Kind of hard for Him to remind you of what you've not read. So I need to be putting in my mind so that this Word of God, this Word of truth is being incorporated in my life. Notice what Jesus said again in Matthew 4 when He was being tempted. The tempter came to Him and came and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Jesus. He defeated the enemy. Was this kind of one of those flaming arrows that He was shooting at Jesus? What did Jesus do? He used the Word. He didn't say, I think. He didn't say, I believe. He just said, here's what the Word says. And He used it to protect Himself against the lies that the enemy was putting toward Him because He believed in the Word of God. Listen, if Jesus believed in the Bible, I think I ought to too. So I'm saying, if I'm to have victory, I take the shield of faith in this Word, and I take it seriously in my life. That means I'll spend some time in it continually, consistently, not just once in a while. You realize, and I think all of us do, that getting into the Word and studying it, reading it, is one of the hardest things you do, because always you're going to do it, but there's 101 things pop in your mind that come up to keep you distracted. Because the enemy knows if you get this in your heart and in your life, he can't win. Amen. Right. So we need to be putting this Word in our life and taking it, faith in this Word. That is, I take it seriously. I accept it. I've read a story, which I think I've shared before, about a man who was out in the desert. He was dry and thirsty. He found an old abandoned shack which didn't have much there, but he also saw a well standing out near the shack. He was thirsty and dreary, and he said, oh, so he went pump, pump, ding, ding, ding. Nothing came out of the well. He kind of went back in the shade, and you notice there's a jug sitting over by the well. So he went over, dusted it off, picked it up. There was a note on it. It says, if you want water, take this jug of water, take out the cork, and pour this water in the well, and then pump, and you'll get water. He said, I thought about that. Now, should I trust the note enough? Or should I drink what little water I got in this jug? And he had to think about, did he have faith in the person who wrote the note on the jug? Well, after wrestling with himself for a while, he poured the whole jug in the well. He pumped, squeak, squeak, squeak. Nothing happened. He pumped again. All of a sudden, a little drizzle began to come up. He kept pumping. All of a sudden, the water gushed out of the well because he had primed the pump. Some of you grew up in a follower where you know what that's about. He drank the cool, fresh water. Then he filled the jug up. Note another note on the bottom. It really does work. But folks, God's Word really does work. And we need to trust Him and try it, even though it don't make sense. Because the things of God will not always make sense to our mind. But when I do what God says in His Word and I begin to put that into my life, I can be assured I can trust His Word. Another aspect of this is exercise faith in Jesus. Exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the key to every relationship with God. To know Him, to live for God and all the other things. The scripture of this, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. We know that passage pretty well. But he said, I have come to live my life no longer for myself, but for Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in Him. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can trust Him. Let me read the other passage. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. When I say I trust Jesus, it means I commit my life to Jesus. I receive Him. You see, when a person is lost and doesn't know Christ, he has to decide, does Jesus do what He said? Does the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, His resurrection, does that really change me if I ask Him to? Does He really come into my life? And many of you have exercised enough faith to say, yes, Jesus, I receive You. And the good news is that when you do, you find that it's always exactly what He said. He does change you and continues to change you. This is a victory that overcomes the world. And I'm saying, if I'm going to have the shield of faith, it's not faith in faith. It's not faith in my skills. It's not faith in someone else. It's faith in the Word of God and Jesus, whom that Word reveals, and my confidence is in Him and His presence and His power. Is Jesus present in every believer? Is Jesus present in every believer in all His power and all His glory and everything that He is? Then I got to trust Him. Shield of faith. I'm trusting Christ in this way. And I want to yield to Him. Some of us shared this also, but I'm told that trapeze artists, if you ever watch those individuals, on the trapeze there are two individuals, but one is the one who swings and the one who catches. And they swing together and you've seen them, how they catch one another. But one of those is the catcher and the one swinging has to trust the catcher. Because if the one swinging over tries to grab the catcher, they miss. That person swinging over has to trust that when they go over, the catcher is going to grab their arms and going to save them. That kind of trust. So what we're saying is, Jesus, I'm swinging over. You better catch me. Because if you don't, I'm going down. But the good news is he catches every time. The good news is, I think of when Peter said, I'm going down. Jesus helped me. Didn't take him long to get a hold of Peter, did it? And so what I'm saying is, I'm going to exercise faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And He will help me be the shield of faith. On the other side of your notes, a couple other places that I'll think of about exercising faith. The next one is in Holy Spirit. Faith in Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Is that true? Do I believe it's true? Do I act like it's true? The question is, see, my faith is not in what I can generate, as I said, but in God the Father, who, in His Word and in Jesus, and the fact that Holy Spirit is actively present in every situation, in all of my life as a child of God. Holy Spirit of God is always, always, always present in my life. Now, I don't always trust Him, perhaps, but He's there. And I can be confident that when I face these issues which are coming, that the Holy Spirit of God is going to be in me to empower me, to work through me, to reveal truth to me, to do all that He came to do, and I can trust Him with confidence in the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you that right now in this room, Holy Spirit is present. He's present in each of us, but He's also present, I believe, in the room. Because you hear things. You'll say things. You'll understand things. I've shared this before with individuals, but sometimes when I preach and somebody will come up to me afterwards and say, you know what I got out of today's message? And they'll tell me. And I think, I didn't say that. What happened? Holy Spirit revealed the truth to you that you need to hear. It didn't matter whether I say it or not. I believe if you're listening, God's Holy Spirit is going to speak to all of us about something in our life in this service, because Holy Spirit of God is present among us and in us to communicate to us if we're open to hear Him. And so I'm going to take that shield of faith. The Holy Spirit of God is going to direct my life, going to order my life, going to tell me what to do, going to give me direction and wisdom and all the things that I need. So thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Another area is I want to have faith in God's promises. Faith in God's promises. It says, but as God is faithful, and He is, our word to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in Him. Now notice this. For as many as the promises are the promises of God in Him, they are yes. In Jesus, they are yes. Therefore, also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. The promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes. He wants to fulfill them if we'll believe Him and trust Him that those promises that He made, He will keep as we walk with Him and obey Him. So when I talk about the shield of faith, it's faith in something that has substance to it, not in just wild or whatever opinions. We have a basis for our faith. It's not faith in faith. We have a basis for our faith when we think about God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God's promises. We've got a pretty good foundation for believing what we cannot see. Now, taking all those things in mind, I want to think about how we might use a shield of faith against those flaming arrows. There are many more that you could add, but I'm going to suggest a few. And I put some references on your notes, which I'm going to read. You may want to look them up later because I didn't have room to put all those on here. But now, you see what I'm saying? Take the shield of faith, which is faith in what God says. And when the enemy comes against me, which he does with his flaming arrows, I'm going to put up the shield of faith and say, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to let you get me to me in this area. So I'm going to name some areas and help us to think about a scripture that might help us in that area. Okay? So the first one is temptation. Temptation. Anybody here deal with temptation? Anybody doesn't, maybe that way. Now, how do we use the shield of faith in temptation? I want to suggest that this is what I do. When he comes to me and tempts me with something I know is wrong, I remember this. No temptation is overtaking you, but such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with a temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to do it, endure it. So when the temptation comes, you don't worry about the temptation. You say, God, you provide a way out. Show me your way out. You made a promise that you'll get me free. You made a promise that I don't have to yield to this temptation. You made a promise that I can trust you. And so I bring that temptation. Instead of dealing with the temptation itself, I come to God and say, God, here it is. Deal with this temptation for me, with me and in me. The shield of faith says, this is what your word says. God, I'm trusting you to do that in the midst of whatever's coming my way in these temptations. And all kinds of temptations come because what tempts you doesn't tempt somebody else and vice versa. But the shield of faith says, God, I believe this. You can set me free. Or another one, doubt. You ever had any doubts? Questions? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Same scripture I read a minute ago. But listen, if I have doubt, oh wait a minute, I say, the promises of God to me are what? Yes. And notice what he said. The scripture says, as we trust them, we also are to him is our amen to the glory of God. I say, yeah, it works. He does it. And we don't allow this doubt to overwhelm us. But God, you promised to be with me. You promised to save me. You promised to keep me. You promised to guide me. You promised to protect me. You promised these things. And the more I know the promises of God, when those doubts come, I throw the Word of God at them. Throw the Word of God at them. The truth from God. Remember a man who had been injured early in life in a diving accident. He was bedfast, couldn't get out. He was in bed all the time. His friends had come and visit him, talk to him. And one day somebody said, does the devil ever tempt you to be discouraged? He said, yeah, he comes by and I see my friends that I went to school with walking by and all that. And he comes and said, and the devil says to me, you know, see, God doesn't love you. Look, it's all your friends and you're laying here flat on your back. His friend says, what do you do when the devil does that? He says, I take the devil to the cross of Christ. And as I see, he does love me. He loves me. He died for me. I don't have to doubt when I come to God's promises. Another aspect is fear. We have those come our way sometimes. The scripture says that, make sure that your character is free from love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? When fear walks in the door, you bring Jesus to answer it. You tell him, the Lord is my helper. Is he? The Lord is my helper. I don't have to be afraid. And I bring that shield of faith around and say, you can't get to me with fear because the Lord is my friend. He's my helper. He's going to take care of me and I don't have to be afraid. And there are times when our lives are tempted to be afraid. Or another one, persecution. We haven't faced a lot of persecution, but some of it's coming and sometimes I wonder if we're going to get some more in this country. I hope it doesn't. But anyway, two examples I put on your notes. One is in Acts 4. You remember the disciples, Peter and some of the others, told them, don't you talk about Jesus anymore because we're going to cut your head off or you're going to die if you do. And you remember their answer? When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whatever is right in the sight of God, to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Shield of faith says, okay, if you want to take my hat off, go ahead. I'm going to keep talking about Jesus anyway. And the shield of faith says, okay, if I get persecuted, the God who took care of those disciples is the God who can take care of me. And I bring that around. And then I reminded this scripture, when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you will say, but say whatever is given to you in the hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. I don't have to worry about getting offended. The promise of God is, if I'm persecuted, God's Spirit will give me what to say at that moment. I don't have to have a canned speech. I don't have to have it all worked out. Not saying don't be ready. But I'm saying it when persecution comes, the shield of faith is God's going to guide me. He's going to give me what to say. He's the same God who took care of those disciples is the God who took care of me. Another one that I thought about and put on your notes, but in the Old Testament, you remember when those four, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were challenged and said, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And you remember what they said? They said, if God can deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you anyway. That shield of faith protected them. And in that case, God let them go in the fire furnace. But guess what? He got them out. So when I'm persecuted, I say, I bring the shield of faith. God's with me. God's going to tell me what to do. God's going to help me say yes to what's right. Another one is discouragement. We don't ever have any of that. Let me read this scripture. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Notice what it says. Thanks be to God who what? Always leads us in His triumph in Christ. And so when I get discouraged, I say, wait a minute. My shield of faith says God's going to help me triumph. God's going to give me victory. God's going to provide for me. God's going to restore. God's going to meet the need. God's going to supply. And I bring up the shield of faith in the Word of God. And I say, nope. Christ's going to lead me in His triumph in the midst of whatever's going on in my life. Thank you. The last one that I want to mention, you could list a whole lot more. You see, if you look through the Word, you're going to find a lot of these that God will give you. The shield of faith, and you can bring that word around and say, okay, whatever it is. I mean, the more you know, the better you got, the better shield you got, right? The last one is when we have pain and problems, and the verse we all know, and we know. I hope you know that. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Is that just a nice saying, or is that really true? When I'm discouraged, when I go through all these difficulties, I bring around the shield of faith that says, God's Word says, you're going to work all this for good, according to your purpose, and you're going to do it in me. And I bring the shield of faith to bear in those situations. So, I need this shield of faith because the enemy is going to... These things I just named are flaming arrows. You've got a lot of them. Some of you are praying. You ever pray and have a flaming arrow hit you? All of a sudden, something comes to your mind. You say, where'd that come from? That's where you bring around the Word of God and say, God, this isn't from you. Or He comes around and He says to you, you're terrible. You're sin. You're no good. That's a flaming arrow. You bring around and say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've been forgiven. I don't accept that. So the shield of faith, He said, take it up. It's something we do, we take up, so that there can be victory. The last thing I want to say on your notes, exercise faith that God will give victory. Exercise faith that God will give victory. The shield of faith says, I may be dealing with all this, but my God, which we just sang about earlier, is going to give victory. In my situation, in the circumstance that I'm in, you think He doesn't know your circumstance? Does He know where you are? Does He know what you're going through? Does He know ahead of time before you get there what you're going to go through? He does. So I'm saying exercise faith and God will give victory. Therefore, humble yourself on the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time. Now notice that. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is that passage that I read earlier about watching out for the devil in 1 Peter chapter 5. This all goes together. In fact, you want to read that. What does he say? I humble myself in the hand of God. God, I'm yours. You can do what you want to with me. I accept what you're saying. I trust the way you're working in me. I'm casting all my anxiety, my anxiousness on you. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us do that. It's not hard. It's hard as human beings to give our anxiety to the Lord. But when I realize how great God is and how wonderful He is, I can do that. And when I do, there's a shield of faith that gains victory. He said, after you suffered for a little while. Oh, sometimes I feel like it's a long time I'm suffering. But compared to what's over there, to what's going on now, it's a little time because eternity is a long time with God. God has an eternal weight of glory. Things are going to happen to us. Notice what He said. He Himself will perfect you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we exercise the shield of faith, we look forward to the victory that Christ Jesus will give us. We just take the faith in the Word of God and all the power of His Spirit and His promise and say, here, devil, throw those flaming arrows. That's all right. You're not going to get through because I'm going to put up my shield of faith. And they have to stop. They can't get through. Some of you remember a story about Gladys Allward, who lived many years ago as a missionary. She lived in China. And during her time there, one of the provinces was being invaded by an enemy. And she wanted to leave. There was 100 orphans she had. She was trying to go over the mountains to save those orphans. She had one helper. And as she was trying to get those orphans over the mountains, she became discouraged and weary. It looked like she wasn't going to make it to save those kids. One day, a 13-year-old girl said to her, but remember, God got Moses through the Red Sea. She said, but I'm not Moses. But the 13-year-old God said, Yahweh is still Yahweh. God is still God. And He is our victor. He is our triumph. And we're going to keep trusting Him no matter what. Let's bow together. My prayer is that if you don't know Jesus today, you'll say, Lord, I've had it long enough without You. I'm going to trust You to give my heart and life to You. You said You'd save me. Lord, I know I've been living without You and I've been a sinner. Would You forgive me and save me and cast Your faith in Jesus? Many of us are children of God. We're saved. Do we know Jesus? Have you got your shield up? Or are there some places today you come here and you're struggling and you need to say, Lord Jesus, help me to find the shield of faith in the midst of whatever I'm dealing with. Find that truth from Your Word that I can swing around against those flaming arrows and have victory. So whatever issues, whatever struggles, whatever heartaches, Jesus wants to help you. He's there to help you meet them. So would you bring them to Him? If you'd like for me to pray with you about them, I'd be glad to do that. You just want to come and pray and do that. Or you want somebody nearby just to pray with you, you can do that. Because our God is a winning God. And we're going to exercise faith by obeying what we understand He wants from us. Dear Lord, I thank you that you're here in the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the triumph that you accomplished in the cross and in the resurrection and in the ascension and one day the coming back. But right now, thank you for your Spirit to speak to hearts. Lord, may that one person who's struggling with faith today step over the line to Jesus. May your Spirit have full control of each of us as we obey you today and take up that shield of faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.